Well, good morning to you all, wherever you may be, and what a great privilege I have today to be able to share God's Word with you. I want to share some, will you listen? In Jeremiah chapter 33, verse 3, "Call to me, and I will answer you, and tell you great and unsearchable things you do not know." In Matthew chapter 7, verse 7 to 8, the Lord Jesus says, "Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receives. He who seeks, finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened." In Luke chapter 18, verse 1, "Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and never give up." In Ephesians verse 6, chapter 6, verse 18, the Apostle Paul says, "And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints." And in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, he says, "Pray continually." Let us pray. Lord, we pray that you will open our eyes today that we may see Jesus, that you will open our ears that we may hear Jesus, and that you will open our hearts that we may receive Jesus. We thank you for your word. In his name, amen. Well, as we continue our series, Awake, we remember the words of our Lord Jesus when he told his disciples in Matthew chapter 26, verse 41, "Watch." That is, be alert, keep awake. And then he said, "And pray." Pray. I want to quote part of a poem by an unknown author. "I got up early one morning. I rushed into the day. I had so much to accomplish that I didn't take time to pray. Problems just tumbled about me, and heavier came each task. Why doesn't God help me, I wondered. He answered, you didn't ask." Someone has rightly said, there is more you can do after you pray, but there's little you can do until you pray. Our subject today is prayer. And prayer, dear friends, is as vast and as infinite as prayer is itself. On the one hand, so simple. What a friend we have in Jesus, everything to God in prayer. On the other hand, so complex that we cannot even fully grasp its full meaning, especially in the realm of seemingly unanswered prayer and answers that don't make sense to us. Although it's impossible to exhaust the subject in one sermon, we'll scratch the surface because prayer should grip the attention of every Christian. Someone said, "No Christian is greater than his, her prayer life. The church has many organizers, but few agonizers. Many who pay, but few who pray. The worldly Christian stops praying. The praying Christian stops worldliness. The secret of all failure is the failure of secret prayer. In the matter of effective praying, never have so many left so much to so few." So we ask the question, firstly, and if you're taking notes, what is prayer? God, in his infinite mercy and wisdom, has ordained prayer as a means of grace, a means of grace that we human beings can communicate with him. You see, God is a personal God. And he loves us so much that he wants us to communicate with him. Now, sometimes we doubt that, and so we do not pray as we should. We are actually speaking to a real living person. And prayer becomes exciting and takes on a new meaning when we realize that we are in fact having a conversation with the living God Himself. Not that we come casually or lightly, but need to come in reverence and humility, remembering God is a holy God. But prayer is an attitude to God which words give utterance to our thoughts and feelings. And so to this end, prayer becomes a dialogue or conversation between two people, ourselves and God. And what is so wonderful is that God is more willing to listen to us than we are sometimes willing to talk to Him. In prayer, we have that experiential access to our Heavenly Father. Prayer is also called a spiritual discipline, where prayer lies at the very root and heart of our Christian faith. It's part and parcel of our daily spiritual lives. Here, spiritual growth begins, flourishes, or fails. And neglect of prayer is the sure road to failure in the Christian walk. Someone said backsliding starts in the knees when we stop praying. John Bunyan of Pilgrim's Progress fame said, "Prayer is the sincere and sensible outpouring of the heart to God through Christ and the assistance of the Holy Spirit for such things as God has promised according to His will." But notice, like in true conversation, there is both talking and listening. So often we do all the talking and very little listening. And so we need to be silent and wait for God to speak to us, to be still and know that I am God. And God will speak if we wait and listen, sometimes directly through His written word to us, the Bible, but sometimes in that still, small voice of the Holy Spirit by which He puts thoughts into our hearts and minds. What shall we say in our prayers? Well, when a young child talks to his parents, he doesn't think about what to say. He says what comes naturally to him, whether it is to express his love and gratitude or to ask a request. And so it is our talking to God. We say what is in our heart. We must praise Him for who He is, for what He has done for us, and we can share what is troubling us, share with Him the problems of others, and ask Him to help them too. And I'm sure you know that prayer is not informing God of something He doesn't know already. Remember, God is omniscient. So prayer is inviting God into our circumstances, into our hopes and fears, into our dreams, and into our pain. Prayer is not working through a grocery list of requests for things we want. Prayer allows us to live relationally with a living God. And to understand prayer, we simply need to look at the character of God. We need to see that loving Father inviting us to share our hearts with Him. So prayer doesn't become an obstacle course or even just a religious duty. Prayer is nothing less than responding to that warm assurance of God's love for us. And the value of prayer is that it keeps us in touch with God. Once D.L. Moody's 5-year-old son came into his study while he was writing. He didn't make a sound. Looking up, Moody said, "Well, my son, what do you want?" The little boy said, "Nothing, Daddy. I just wanted to be where you are and to be near you." And that's really what prayer is like, is it not? Second thought is, why should we pray? Some people can't see the point of praying because they say God knows everything and works whether we pray or not. But that is considering prayer from a purely human point of view. And if you're taking notes, whether we understand it with our human reason or not, the fact is God has commanded us to pray. Luke 18:1, as we read. Clearly, prayer is a divinely appointed duty laid upon every Christian. Indeed, it is a sin not to pray. Listen to what Samuel said in 1 Samuel 12:23. God forbid that I sin against God in not praying for you. In prayer, we worship and glorify God. Prayer is God's ordained way for us to acknowledge our total dependency upon Him. And we acknowledge His infinite glory, majesty, power, sovereignty, and we humbly cast ourselves upon His love, mercy, and grace. In prayer, we admit our creaturely weakness and frailty, and so turn to God for help. Remember what Jesus said, John 15:5, "Without me you can do nothing." The very act of prayer is to humble us on our knees and confess that we do not have control of the world. Every time we pray, we recognize that God is the author and source of all that we need. But we need to know, in prayer we do not dictate to God or attempt to force His hand, but we humbly submit to His sovereign will and give Him the glory, praise, and honor due to His name. As we've said before, prayer is a means of grace by which we are enabled to grow in our spiritual lives. Prayer is designed by God for the exercise of our faith. The Apostle Paul was someone who understood prayer and its power. He literally gave himself to prayer, and it was part of his life. And he took it for granted that prayer would be the part of every Christian. To him, it was the substance and being of his life. Because the more you pray, the more you will want to pray. Read his letters. All but the letter to Titus contain at least one prayer. And you cannot really be an effective Christian and do not pray any more than you can have a good marriage without talking to your spouse. In both circumstances, you will be miserable. Many years ago in Zimbabwe, when I was ministering there, I had a couple come to see me. They had communication problems in their marriage. They were not talking to each other. I want to emphasize, they were not talking to each other. I sat here, he sat there, she sat there. He said to me, "Tell her this." And so I told her that, and she said, "Tell him this," and I told him this. Unfortunately, they didn't resolve their problems, and their marriage ended. You see, you've got to have communication. And prayer is that pipeline of communication between God and His children, and it needs to be constantly kept open. And so we need to cultivate the practice of prayer. Set a regular time when we meet with God and converse with Him. See, prayer that costs nothing gets nothing. And if we pray little, little blessing. If we pray more, more blessing. And if we pray much, much blessing. I ask you, how much time do you spend in prayer? Now, God doesn't care about the length of our prayers. A sincere, short prayer is long enough for God. Remember Nehemiah in the Old Testament, who was cupbearer to King Artaxerxes. When bad news came to Nehemiah and he had to leave the king and go back to Jerusalem, he sent a silent, quick, text message to God. He stood there and just prayed. He didn't close his eyes or fold his hands. He sent a prayer to God. Remember the Apostle Peter when he was sinking in the water and he just said, "Lord, save me." See, God doesn't care about the eloquence of our prayers or our posture, but more than anything else, He cares about the heart of our prayers. A sinner can just cry out for salvation. In Acts 2:21, "And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." That's all it takes. Dear friends, you can pray even while driving your car, but make sure that you don't close your eyes or clasp your hands. Surely you see there are few things in life which cannot be accompanied by prayer, few which cannot be preceded by prayer, and none that would not profit by prayer. Why should we pray? The very fact that our Lord Jesus Christ needed to pray to His Heavenly Father is surely reason enough why we should pray. Read the Gospels and see how often we find Jesus praying. Our Lord's earthly ministry was begun in prayer, continued in prayer, and ended in prayer. And now in His heavenly ministry, He continues to pray. Hebrews 7:15, He ever lives to intercede for us. And Jesus told us that the servant is not greater than his master. So that should convince us of the need to pray. May I ask you, what is yours and my prayer life like? The hymn writer said, "O you by whom we come to God, the life, truth, and way, the path of prayer yourself has trod. Lord, teach us to pray." How do we pray? Well, if you're taking notes, we must note that when we pray, we must come in God's way. We must come in God's way. He has laid out certain conditions, and unless we fulfill these, our prayers will be in vain. We must pray in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. To pray in Jesus' name is not the use of some verbal mantra, but to base our asking on Christ's saving relationship to us through His atoning sacrifice for us on the cross. You see, we plead His merits on the ground of our acceptability with the Father. Jesus said, "No man comes to the Father except by me." And He said, "Whatever you ask the Father in my name, He will give it to you." This will involve making petitions which Christ can endorse and put His name to. Because when God answers prayer in Jesus' name, He is the one who will be glorified through what is given. This, therefore, limits the subject of prayer to the things in direct line with the purposes of God. We must pray for things agreeable to His will. 1 John 5:14. "This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us." We must pray in faith. Hebrews 11:6. "Without faith it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him." We have faith that God will hear us and answer us. And in Mark 11:24, He says, "Whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you receive it and it will be yours." You see, all prayer is directed to the triune God, to the Father, through the Son, by the Holy Spirit. And all three are active participants in the believer's prayer. As Romans 8:26 reminds us, the Holy Spirit helps us to pray, even when we do not know what to ask for. We can just know that the Holy Spirit will be interceding for us. He knows our hearts, and He will take those desires before God. What if we cannot pray? Sometimes things happen to us which cause us to feel our prayers are empty and powerless, or that God has seemingly shut Himself off from us. Sometimes we are spiritually dry in the desert, spiritual desert as to speak, sometimes in that dark night of the soul. Remember, these times are temporary. God has promised never to leave us or forsake us. He is in us. If we are Christians, the Holy Spirit dwells within us. And it is waiting on the Lord that we learn that those clouds which obscure God from us are not of His making, but ours. And in waiting we find those clouds lift and our consciousness of God returns. Remember the words of Jesus to Peter, Luke 22:31-32. Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you like wheat, but I have prayed for you, Simon, so that your faith may not fail. Isn't that a wonderful thing, that our Lord Jesus is praying for us in those times when we find it difficult to pray for ourselves? And what is more, God's people, if you ask them, can pray for you as well. That's why we have a prayer chain and invite people to give us their requests so that we as God's people can pray for you as well. Dear friends, there's been times in my life when I pray and it seems that God is far away, but I've kept on praying, and then God in His graciousness has revealed Himself again. What happens when we pray? The poet Lord Tennyson said, "More has been done by prayer than the world ever dreamed of." Read through the pages of Scripture and see what has been done in answer to prayer. Read the testimonies of God's children throughout the ages and see the answers to prayer. If you're taking notes, there is tremendous power in prayer. Power in prayer. If only we knew what power is at our disposal. Mary, Queen of Scots, said she feared the prayers of John Knox more than the armies of England. Prayer does have an effect, and when we pray, things begin to happen. But let me emphasize once again, prayer is not intended to force God's hand or make Him do our will against His own. Prayer deepens our knowledge of Him and fellowship with Him and consciously embraces His goals and purposes. Dr. Mitchell of Biola said, and I quote, "Praying is the primary human agent given by a sovereign God to man, through which He will accomplish His will on earth." Can I say that again? Praying is the primary human agent given by a sovereign God to man, through which He will accomplish His will on earth. In other words, God has decreed the means as well as the end of His plan and His purpose. And among those means are the prayers of His people. God answers prayer, not only for the sake of those who pray, but also for the sake of His glory and praise. Yet, because God is glorified by answering our prayers, then we too experience the blessing. When we pray, something happens to us. Remember, C.S. Lewis said, "When I pray, I do not change God. He changes me. We begin to see things in our lives and hearts which we know are not pleasing to God. And so we must confess that we are in a right relationship with Him. Human friendship. The more time spent with a person, the more you know them. The more you know them, the more you'll trust them. The more you trust them, the more you are willing to give yourselves to them. Just after I met BJ at a Christian camp in 1969, we went on a 20-mile sponsored walk for Youth for Christ. We were fit in those days. I didn't realize that BJ had actually spent 5 months on her bed. She was ill, but she came with me. And in that time, we got to know quite a bit of each other. It was a long walk. And as our relationship grew then, while we were at Bible college together, we began to trust each other more. And then as we were able to trust each other more, we gave ourselves to each other in marriage. That's our engagement picture. And the rest is history. And so it is in prayer. We get to know more about God and His will for our lives. And someone said, God's praying people get to know much more of His mind than others. But there are two other aspects to prayer. If you're taking notes, when we pray, we receive power over the forces of Satan and evil. Great triumphs over sin and Satan are fought in the war room, the powerhouse of prayer. The hymn writer said, Satan trembles when he sees the weakest saint upon his knees. And that is why Satan will do all he can to distract us from praying. I'm sure you have experienced, as I have, when you're praying, isn't it amazing how your mind can just so easily wander in all sorts of directions? I've had to say, where did that come from? Why am I thinking about this when I'm actually praying? You see, Satan will take our thoughts away from prayer. He will do anything to keep us from praying. He knows the power of prayer. That is why he's happy when he hears a Christian say, I'll not go, it's only the prayer meeting. Oh, dear friends, if we prayed more, we would make fewer mistakes and fall into fewer temptations. Jesus said, as we have read, watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the body is weak. When we pray, we affect others. There is such power, if you're taking notes, others affect others. There's such power in intercessory prayer. We can pray for those who do not pray for themselves and those who cannot pray. I remember visiting a hospital, and one of my congregants was in one bed and there was another man in another. I prayed with my member, then I asked the man next to him if he would like me to pray for him. He said no. So I thought, well, that's okay, I'll still pray for you. I don't have to have your permission to pray for him. You see, we can pray for others even if they don't want prayers from us. And the ministry of intercession is open to every believer. When you are not able to do anything else, you can pray. I've often said that to our senior folk. You say, look at me, I'm weak, frail, I can't do anything. And I say, oh yes, you can. You can pray. Pray for the pastors of the church, for the leadership, for the congregation. Pray for those in need. Dear friends, prayer is open to all. And prayer is as vast as God Himself, because He is behind it. John Knox prayed, give me Scotland or I die. And the answer to his prayer is on the scroll of the pages of history. No wonder James wrote in James 5:16, "The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective." Yes, when we pray, things happen. God is glorified. We receive power in our lives, and the lives of others are changed. Prayer does something in us and for us and through us for His glory and good. Life is fragile. Handle with prayer. Well, you may ask, how does God answer prayer? If you're taking notes, an elderly person who had been a Christian for most of his life was once asked, how does God answer prayer? There was a moment of silence as he searched for an appropriate response. And then he said, "When I pray, God answers. But how he will answer, I cannot always tell." And a poet once said, "I know not by what methods rare, but this I know, God answers prayer. I know that he has given his word, which tells me prayer is always heard, and will be answered soon or late. And so I pray and calmly wait, assured that he will grant my quest or send some answer far more blessed." How does God answer prayer? Well, according to his purpose. Our prayers have already been taken into account to fit in his eternal purposes. And prayer is not a matter of getting our will done in heaven, but God's will done on earth. God will answer prayer for our good and his glory. Our Heavenly Father works all things for our benefit and praise. He knows what is best for us, and because he loves us, his response will always be in our very best interest. And this will bring praise to his holy name. How does he answer prayer? In keeping with his character. What God is determines what he does. His love, power, and wisdom eternally works together on our behalf when we pray. How does he answer? By saying yes. He can say no. Or he can say, wait. And the scriptures give us examples of these three answers to prayer. In Luke 15:5, 12 to 13, a leper asks Jesus to heal him, and the man was immediately healed of his leprosy. In 2 Corinthians 12:7 to 9, the apostle prayed three times for God to remove that thorn in his flesh. And God said no, but told Paul that his grace would be sufficient for him. In Exodus 2:23, the Israelites prayed for many years to be delivered out of slavery, but they had to wait until God prepared Moses to lead them out. And so it is with us. God can answer yes to our prayers, and we receive it immediately. Or he can say no. That is still an answer. He has answered our prayer, but maybe not according to what we expected. And he can say wait. And remember this, delays are not denials. God will always answer prayer. Read through the Psalms and see how many times the psalmist says wait. God says wait. Wait, wait, but an answer will come in time. Well, you say, well, what happens if nothing happens? Sometimes people complain that they don't see any change or feel any change. What's wrong? Perhaps we need to check out the common causes for seemingly unanswered prayer. There is wrong expectations. Some people may be disappointed, but because they expect God something from God that He never promised to give. The Lord never promised us that we would never have a moment of depression, never struggle with a doubt, never be laid low with an illness, even a terminal illness. In fact, the opposite is true. John 16:33, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world. We're very quick, aren't we, to claim the promises of God. I wonder how many times this promise has been claimed. You will have trouble. Over and over again, the scriptures tell us that as followers of Jesus, we will suffer hardship, persecution in the service for Christ our Lord. Read Paul's account of all he suffered. Even the promises of Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount, telling us that we will face troubles. You see, believers are not exempt or immune from what this fallen, sinful world gives. And dear friends, prayer does not bring instant deliverance from everything unpleasant. Wrong expectations. It's wrong motives. James 4:3, when you ask, you do not receive, because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. You see, if we pray selfishly or vengefully, God will not hear our prayers. Wrong conduct. Psalm 66:18, if I had cherished sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. In other words, we need to come before God with clean hearts and hands to confess and repent of our sin before we can request anything from a holy God. And you see, dear friends, ultimately prayer is about the cross. The cross stands for our complete, entire, and absolute identification with our Lord. And this identification is no more realized than in prayer, which is the complete oneness with God in communication as we share our souls with Him. In a recent devotional, The Value of Prayer, Greg Laurie said this, and I want to quote him. If I had to name a sin that was prevalent in the church, it would be prayerlessness. Breaking God's commandments is the sin of commission. In contrast, the sin of omission is not doing what we should. So often we miss out on what God wants to do in our lives because we do not pray. Yet prayer isn't painful. It's simply a commitment we make in which we call out to the Lord. We do not pray as much as we should. Throughout the centuries, there have been many revivals and moves of God's Holy Spirit. Yet before each great move of God, there was always a move to prayer and repentance. Oh, that God would raise up those who would be willing to earnestly pray, to seek His face, to intercede, and to stand in the gap in these critical days in which we live. That there would be an expectancy for God to work in the life of our church, in the life of our county, of our state, in our nation. This is no time to be sluggish. We have a job to do before our Lord Jesus Christ returns. So what does yours and my prayer life look like? Let's get personal. Am I persistent in prayer? Are my prayers compassionate and passionate, or just a meaningless ritual or routine? Are they filled with intensity and fervor? Or are they weak, timid, lacking in faith? Do I thank God for all His blessings to me, or just take them for granted? Am I interceding for others, those in need, the unsaved? Is there a burden on my heart to see God's kingdom expand and to see His will done on earth as in heaven? I was asked to share this personal testimony of how God answered prayer, but not quite in the way that was expected. In December 1977, you know, I was a military chaplain and I was visiting a base. The night before we left, that I left to go back home, we were told that all routes out of there were red. In other words, they were all highly dangerous. The driver of the vehicle was a leader in my church. So that evening we prayed that God would protect us and keep us safe on that journey back home through the bush. We left 5 o'clock in the morning, the base camp, and at 6 o'clock we were ambushed, and I've told you my story about that. But what I want to share with you is this, that as they opened fire on us, their ambition is always to hit the driver of the vehicle, so, and the radiator. Well, they succeeded in hitting the radiator, so the vehicle stops. And I want to tell you this, there were 2 bullet holes in the windscreen either side of the driver's head. 3 of us were injured in that incident, wounded. I was one of them. Did God answer our prayer the night before? Yes. Was it in the way that we expected? No. But He answered. We survived. And God does answer prayer. And so we carry on praying, knowing that it will be so. F.B. Meyer, that godly man, said, "The great tragedy of life is not unanswered prayer, but unoffered prayer." Oh, dear brothers and sisters, we're living in difficult and serious days. These are days to be awake, to watch, and to pray. As the Apostle Paul reminds us in 1 Thessalonians 5:6, "So then, let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us be alert and self-controlled." Satan is having a heyday at this time. But brothers and sisters, as believers, we have power against the forces of Satan. We have that power of prayer, and we need to come against the strongholds of Satan in prayer, believing God will hear us and answer us. Oh, that we might become men and women of prayer. Because prayer does business with God. Prayer creates a hunger for souls, and a hunger for souls creates prayer. Truly, that man was right. In the matter of effective praying, never have so many left so much to so few. O Lord, teach us to pray. Amen. Lord, we ask You to forgive us for our prayerlessness. And we ask You to stir within us so that indeed we may be men and women of prayer, and that we will see You turn the tide of what's happening in our nation and bring revival here, we ask, because we ask it in that name which is above every name, the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.